Margot, did you want to... Margot Adler had some questions. She's off in master control, busily watching the dials for us while we've taken away her 2 hours today.
Yes, I had two questions that I wanted to ask concerning breast cancer. One of them is the question about surgery. In both of the famous first and second lady incidences that we heard, you know, these women were rushed off to the hospital and had surgery, and of course this happens in the cases of so many thousands and thousands of women. And I have heard from various people, in the air, various theories that say that this is not necessarily always the only possible solution, and that it has been used sometimes without really taking into consideration other possibilities. And I'm wondering if Dr. Strax and others would comment on that. That's the first question.
Well, unfortunately, there is this controversy on how to treat breast cancer, and there is no unanimity of opinion either in this country or abroad. There has been a standard form of treatment for breast cancer, which, as you know, involves removal of the breast and some other tissues. And it is my personal feeling, and I think it's the feeling of the majority of physicians who are interested in saving the lives of women, that the average cancer that comes to physicians today is not as early as we would like, that it is really late cancer, and the best chance a woman has for survival and for getting well involves removal of the breast. This seems to be agreed on in most areas. However, there is some controversy over the fact that in some areas they feel that if the early cancers would come to physicians, the kind that we look for with our x-rays and so on, if we got the early cancers, that perhaps then we would have a chance of saving the life of a woman and saving her breast. And I think we must be careful to concentrate on those particular early cases. This is where an attempt is going to be made to concentrate so that we can really do what most women would like to do, and that is get their breast cancer cured, and still keep a substantial part of their breast.
The other question had to do with prevention. And I was wondering, I would like to ask Richard of the Health Foundation to talk a bit about you know, it's certainly very simple when you think of lung cancer to associate it immediately with smoking, for example, and many other things. And I'm wondering how you would talk about prevention in regard to breast cancer.
Well, I think this is a very exciting new area that the Foundation is involved in. Our epidemiologists, our disease detectives, determined that a disproportionately high number of Jewish women were developing breast cancer. So they looked at the lifestyle of Jewish women in the typical sense and determined that since we all breathe the same air and since other variables don't exist, what is there about the lifestyle of the Jewish woman that could contribute to this unusually high incidence of breast cancer? And they determined that it might be the diet, which is a high-fat diet. In our laboratories now, working on the lead provided by our epidemiologists, we have come to tentative conclusions that there is a cause and effect relationship between a high-fat diet and breast cancer. And Dr. Winder, president of the foundation, later this year is hosting a conference on diet and cancer. So that this is a whole new area in prevention, in breast cancer prevention. Additionally, in the same regard, in the area of managerial prevention, the foundation seeks to work with food manufacturers to encourage them to involve themselves in the production of less harmful food products. And I think this is an especially apt area for the woman as consumer, as the predominant food purchaser, to try to be aware of the foods, take note of nutritional labeling, comprehend what it's all about, and help in the education of the public so that the high-fat diet will be the exception rather than the rule.
That sounds like an awfully big order to me. We'd like to take some phone calls. The number is 371-5200, and we'll take the first one now. Hello.
Hi. Listen, I...
You're on the air.
Thanks. I found this very interesting, and I have given a great thought to particular subject. In Linewood, the chemicals that are used in manufacturing brassieres lately, I just came across an article which said that they're even putting PVC into the material to hold its shape better when it's on display for sale and so on. But not particularly that chemical, but a lot of other things that are used, and women going into stores, picking the brassiere up, taking it home and putting it on right out of the box. And I just wondered if these gentlemen have any comments on that. I'm not being too clear, but I just thought that
our research, has, as far as I know, has not indicated that food preservatives per se contribute to breast cancer. It's the high fat diet that does seem to be the criminal here.
No, what I was trying to get at, when in the manufacture of undergarments, which are going to be in contact with the person's skin, they are using all kinds of chemicals, whiteners, stiffeners, all this stuff in the material itself. And people are taking the stuff home and putting it on instead of washing and laundering it right off and getting these things out of the material that they're wearing. And I just wondered if...
Well, maybe I should say that the women have worn all types of bras, from what I can understand, from plain pieces of cloth to maiden forms or God knows what, and with wires and whatnot. We have not seen any increase in the breast cancer rate in the population in the last 40, 50 years, or as long as we know. So we feel that nothing that a woman puts on her breast from the outside, or whether she wears a bra at all, has any relationship with the development of breast cancer. The development of breast cancer seems to have something to do with what's inside the body, not with what's outside.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. When you discover a lump in your breast, and the doctor advises you to go for surgery with a biopsy, a frozen section biopsy, is there a possibility, rather than doing that, of just having it lance, you know, without going for surgery first? And is that medically a sounder way as doing it in a preliminary way as submitting to surgery?
What is done when a woman comes with a lump is this. The doctor will, in his best judgment, decide that this has fluid in it or is a solid lump. If it has fluid in it, he will put a needle in and tap it, and that will solve the problem completely. If he feels it's a solid lump, or if he puts a needle in and he does not get fluid, and he feels the mass should be removed for biopsy or whatnot, that is the procedure, to remove the lump if possible, or if it's too large, to remove part of it, just to make sure it's just what you're dealing with. Then treatment is then instituted depending on what you find. When
yes,
you say to lance it, I think you're referring to the tapping of it, which is done as a routine by all the experts.
Oh, it is done as a routine. That's
yes.
My question. Is that done first as a routine?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I heard something on a radio broadcast, and I only caught part of it, but it seemed to have something to do with checking the daughters of women who had had breast cancer and their hormone rates, their hormone, the amounts of various hormones they had. Do you know anything about that?
You're talking about a very important thing that may someday be of great importance, and that is that there is a school of thought which has been propagated by some very important people, and particularly in this country, that it says that there is a certain hormone ratios in a woman's body that has a good deal to do with the onset or the development of breast cancer, that these hormone ratios can be detected in teenagers, and that some hormone ratios would make a woman more likely to develop a cancer than others. And this problem has to be further investigated. It may lead us to some very important areas. It may tell us which women need to be watched more closely than others. We're not quite ready yet. At the moment, the information that we have, it would hint in that direction, but we have no definite data yet.
I see. What would that indicate about the use of the pill, for example?
About the what?
The use of the pill, of hormone pills.
At the moment, there has been no relationship found between the use of the contraceptive pill and development of breast cancer, or the use of hormones after the menopause and the development of breast cancer. There is no relationship that anybody has scientifically proven in any way whatsoever.
I see. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. This is a little difficult to explain, but perhaps somebody on your panel can help. I had a mastectomy a year and a half ago, and I've had three series of radiation treatments, and I know that it's a downhill path from here on. The problem is that my husband refuses to discuss it. Everyone just refuses to talk to me, and I wondered if anybody there knew of any place or anybody I feel a need to talk about what's happened to me and future.
May I answer that, please, because I'm representing Cancer Care Incorporated. I wish you would give us a call at the number in New York City. It's area code 212, of course, is 679-5700. And we would try to help you with your own concerns and with the communication with your husband. We do our best, if you'll give us a call.
Thank you very much. I will do that.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. First of all, I guess a little family medical history. My mother had a mastectomy, a radical, in 1955, 2 years after the death of my father. In 1970, her mother had a mastectomy when she was in her 80s, mm-hmm. 2 years after the death of my mother, her child. And at the time of my mother's recuperation from her radical surgery, she said that there was then at least one place that she had read some indication that there was a strong correlation, whether anybody had shown a causal link or not, between bereavement, either through the loss of a husband, a messy divorce situation, the loss of a child or a parent, but particularly the loss of a child or a husband, and breast cancer. And I link that up with a recent article in New York Magazine, which indicated that some research was being done on the possibility of antibody kinds of relationships in the blood to cancer, research that was not well funded and apparently being carried on by a couple of doctors who were having a hard time, perhaps because of their own personalities, gaining recognition among the more acknowledged researchers in the field. And in my own experience with allergy and with conquering allergy through psychological treatment rather than through chemical treatment, I feel that there is some kind of a strong relationship here between certain kinds of cancer. I might add that both of my parents eventually died of intestinal cancer, and that both of them were highly nervous folks who repressed a great deal of their nervousness and who spent a good deal of their lives putting on a very strong front in semi-public and public situations when perhaps they would have been under less nervous strain if they'd been more real in public.
So your question is you want to know if there's any link between between the psychological and the physical in terms of cancer.
And also possibly the allergy type of explanation or approach toward cancer research.
Yeah, Dr. Strax?
Yes, the cancer control program of the National Cancer Institute is looking into this question, the psychological aspect of breast cancer, both as to what happens to a person who does have a breast cancer and what happens to the possibility of any psychological factors that might have something to do with the initiation of cancer. The whole field is rather indefinite. No definite areas have been pinpointed as far as psychological factors that might have something to do with the onset of cancer. I think this is the most interesting area. There have been many papers written on the subject, and someday perhaps we will know a lot more than we do now. I think you should continue your own investigation. Perhaps you can come up with an answer to.
Well, I'm not a researcher. I'm just trying to live a little bit longer than I might otherwise do.
Yeah, Mary Overton had a comment.
I have just one comment on a part of your question, and that is you brought up the question of bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been many studies done that have produced evidence that the bereaved relative, especially of someone who dies of cancer, is prone to chronic serious illness, especially in the year after the death, and also prone to death. I'm not relating this strictly to cancer.
I understand.
I'm talking about the border area.
Yeah. Well, it occurs to me
for those people that have been with us, we are carrying out our commitment to the community to stay with families as long as we're needed through bereavement counseling, both individual and group counseling.
Well, I think that one of the major facets of our culture, I've done a good bit of work in psychology myself, is that we tend to, not only as children but also as adults, to seek our identities primarily in our relationships rather than through what you might call more direct personal fulfillment.
Thank you for calling. I'd like to get to some other phone calls because the switchboard is really lit up.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air. BAI, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I read somewhere that there is less incidence of breast cancer in women who have breastfed their babies than in those who have bottle-fed, and I was wondering what your experience was.
Large studies have been done on the subject, and it has been determined that there's no relationship whether breastfeeding and the development of breast cancer. As far as we know, breastfeeding is good for a baby, but doesn't seem to make any difference to the mother. But we did find, as a result of all these extensive studies, that what was happening was that in those countries wherever you had women who had children, when they themselves were under the age of 20, they developed a protection against breast cancer. And in those countries where they do a lot of breastfeeding, there is a tendency to have children at an earlier age. And it was this early age at time of first pregnancy that made the difference. And so we would recommend that if possible, women who should have children before the age of 20, and then they develop a fine protection against breast cancer. Not complete. We'd also suggest that they get married first.
Oh, well, I'm not going to go into that. Let's just take the next phone call. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering if any research has been done on the possible link between breast cancer and the use of underarm deodorant, since we seem to be using so much of them lately.
I've heard this mentioned before. Many people seem to question this. But then again, we have the same situation. Underarm deodorants and so on seems to be a more modern way of treating underarms. And yet there has been no increase in breast cancer rate recently over what it used to be 40 years ago. So we doubt very much whether any of these external environmental agents have anything to do with the development of breast cancer.
I see. Another question. My mother died of tuberculosis, and as a child, I was considered a contact case in the 30s. And I was fluoroscoped a lot when I was a child. I was just wondering, you know, what the chances are.
That's a good question, but the amount of fluoroscopy that you would have under such conditions wouldn't mean a thing. There is some study that fluoroscopy for treatment purposes tuberculosis, that did make a difference, but not the kind of thing that you had where you had an occasional x-ray of a chest.
Yes.
Wouldn't mean a thing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, can I ask the doctors one question? Is there any anthropological, or if the doctors are into literature, any literary evidence of cancer being as widespread in the past as it is today?
There is evidence that breast cancer was around in the days of the old Egyptians, and it's been around for as far as recorded history can go. Breast cancer has been around with women, and for all we know, perhaps at the same rate that's present today.
Well, can I ask about the very near past? What is the rate of development in cancer, cancer in general, and breast cancer in specific?
Well, the percentage of breast cancer it varies a good deal in different countries. But in the United States, the percentage of cancers in women that are located in the breast seems to be increasing somewhat. It's gone up from about 24% to 28% where it was last year. In other words, 28% of all cancers in women were in the breast. It's the most important, most common site for cancer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was just wanting to comment on a recent Scientific American article. I don't have it in front of me, and it's kind of unfortunate, but it was very interesting because it dealt with the extraction of breast fluid and the analysis of the fluid and the differences in the makeup of the fluid according to race, I believe. And this was recent, within the last couple of months. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
The analysis of fluid from the breast that we get from pumping is something that is being done out in California.
Yes, and it sounded like a rather important development. I just wondered why you didn't mention
it. How important it is we are not prepared to say, but it does indicate that we can get lots of information from about a breast from getting this fluid. As to whether it will ever develop into a way of picking up earlier cancers is doubtful.
This is WBAI-FM. Our phone number here is 371-5200. And we're taking phone calls. The topic is women and cancer.
I was wondering if any of you folks out there could answer me on this. I was wondering if there's been any recent research at all into psychic surgery as it's related to surgery and cancer.
The question was on psychic surgery. I seem to remember reading an article by Dr. Nolan, who said that he had he went and experienced some psychic surgery, and found it to be basically fraudulent. I don't know whether he did it under false pretenses, of course. I don't know whether anybody else here has a comment on that or not. No, no. Have we got another phone call? Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'd like to find out about the relationship between personality and cancer. I'd heard that people who are brought up to be nice and sweet to other people are supposed to have a higher proportion of cancer than those who aren't afraid to be, if I may use the expression, bitchy.
I think that it would be very much worthwhile for everybody to be brought up to be nice to each other, and that the chances of getting breast cancer would certainly not be related to that.
Thank you very much for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I was just reading a book by Dr. Kenneth Cooper about aerobics, and he mentioned something about women who have more progesterone than men have less possibility to contact cancer. Is that true, or in relation to breast cancer, or all cancers, or?
Mr. Klarberg, you were nodding. You're not nodding your head. Dr. Strax?
The relationship of the hormones of a woman to breast cancer is something that's very important, but needs a good deal more information and work before we can come to any conclusions. I don't think that anybody knows all the answers in that field.
So there's no less of a chance for a woman to contact any type of cancer than men?
Oh, well, we in breast cancer, nature has been very unkind to women. They get breast cancer 100 times as often as men do.
What about, I heard on a television program, Carlton Fredericks talking about an AMA convention where there was some talk of a cancer cure that couldn't come out yet, and I don't know if anyone called about this before because I haven't been listening to the whole show, but I was wondering if this could work in advanced stages of cancer as well as the early stages.
I don't think, I know nothing about this.
Finding out the antibodies and then re-injecting it into the victim, the cancer victim, and it cures itself. You don't know anything.
There is a lot of work being done on what we call immunotherapy, which involves something like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This,
is
too,
that
is very
in the later stages, or does it totally arrest the cancer?
No, there is. It's completely experimental. Cures have not been obtained. A lot of talk is being made, and a lot of heat is being generated, but so far, we don't know much about it. You'll just have to be patient, or you'll have to ask Dr. Fredericks for further information.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. The number here at WBAI is 371-5200, and we're talking about women and cancer. And we'll take the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
I had many x-rays in 1949 when I was pregnant with my twins. And, of course, now we know that that should not have been done. My children are 26 now. I've been worrying about it all these years. Is there anything that I should tell them to look for, any precautions or any kind of checkups that they should have?
So I think you should be congratulated on having twins, and by this time you know that they're perfectly well, and they never will get into trouble because of any x-rays that you had. This has been very much over-publicized. I'm sure that whatever x-rays you had at that time were good for you because it helped the doctor decide that you had twins.
Well, that
and helped
was
you very much, and it certainly didn't do you any harm.
Okay, and there's nothing, you don't think that there can be any after effects?
None whatsoever, to you or the twins.
Okay, wonderful, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to add that I recently had a mammograph, and it was that I have that fibrofibric, fibrofistic.
Very good.
You know, just little bumps, like,
yes.
You know. And the doctor says, you know, not to worry about it. I mean, I didn't pronounce it right, but I'm sure the doctors would know which one or what it means. That
yes.
After the mammograph, hello?
Yes.
That after the mammograph, that it showed that this is, how do you pronounce this?
Fibrocystic, you did it well.
Yeah, in both breasts.
Right.
And I was wondering if, is this something one should do for those?
If it's any consolation to you, the pathologists who know about these things, some of them say that 98% of women have this condition. It's a normal condition. I wouldn't be the slightest bit concerned about it.
Now, also the doctor said that like every second I should take this for the breast, this D-azide, which is D-Y-A-Z-I-D-E.
That's because you have some pain. So he's giving you the pill, which is a perfectly sensible thing to do.
Well,
I would certainly follow his instructions.
He told me to go back in 6 months. Now, is this advisable that I should take this pill every second day, even though perhaps it's no more sensitive?
Well, this you'll have to take up
this week.
This you'll have to take up with him.
Oh.
And it may be that it's advisable for you to do this. He will know better than anyone.
Back, you know, I was so upset before the mammograph, and then he just like call up next day for the results, and he says, come back in 6 months, and he gave me this diazide.
Yes, well, this means that you have certainly nothing to be concerned about. You follow through. I'm sure it'll never give you trouble.
This diazide is for the breast.
Yes, huh? That's right.
And another question, would women who have this condition be more possible
not
to get
true.
Cancer
be,
of the breast?
No. You're not. Your risk for getting breast cancer is the same as those who didn't get that label.
Would you please repeat this? I couldn't hear someone just voice.
I see. Well, I say the risk for your getting breast cancer is the same as that of other women who didn't get the label.
Who does not have...
Who didn't get this label of fibrocystic.
Oh, I want to thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Before we take our next phone call, perhaps Dr. Strax would like to take a little time out and explain what fibrocystic disease is. Yeah, I can't even pronounce it.
Fibrocystic disease is really a label that is being given to many, many women. There is such a thing that pathologists see under a microscope. There is a definite thing. It's really a normal variation that most women, if not all women, have at some time or other, especially those past the age of 35. It is of no importance as far as we know. There is something in that category which is a highly sophisticated situation which only pathologists will know. Under certain conditions, this thing has some importance. But by far, the vast majority of women who have this label just are apprehensive for truly no reason at all. It has no connection with breast cancer.
Thank you. We'll take our next phone call now. The number here at BAI is 371-5200. BAI, you're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering if diet would have anything to do with starting a breast cancer. For instance, if one eats a great deal of meat or fatty foods or anything like that.
We discussed this very briefly, and if Richard Klarberg of Public Health Center would care to comment briefly on it, we'll repeat it.
Well, the early indicators from our researchers at the American Health Foundation are that there may be an interrelationship between a high-fat diet and breast cancer, and we are actively seeking a more specific answer to the question with grants from the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society. This is a hot lead, though.
Thank you for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, can I turn my radio down?
Yes, please do.
No.
No, he should be allowed to turn his radio down.
You're too nice.
Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to maybe present, it just takes a second, a short and pretty well-known old theory of cancer, and just also state how that applies to the breast. If it gets to be too long, more than a few minutes, just cut me off, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Cancer, I believe, even as the word is defined, is from irritation. And I believe that all cancers are as the result of the body's response to irritation. Some irritations that are very visible to us are irritations in the environment. These are external irritants that we can work on. We can, in that they are visible to us outside, and we can eliminate ourselves from them being in our presence and being in contact with them, and therefore eliminate the cancer. There is another form of irritation which is much more personal, and in that way a little harder to view, but operationally every bit as effective as the most strong physical carcinogenic agents that we know of, and that is the internal set of the individual. And this can generate cancer anywhere in the body.